Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell, along with Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We have offices in Denver and Steamboat Springs, and we do injury cases all over the state of Colorado, and we have for years. We have years and years of experience. If you've been injured, or if you know somebody that's been injured, you can give us a call anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900, or just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. We do all kinds of injury cases. We do car crashes, truck car crashes, bicycle cases, hit and run cases, workers' compensation cases. If you've been injured on the job, we can help you. By the way, our website, championsofthepeople.com, has free books about injury subjects for you. They're free. All you have to do is go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can download an e-copy anytime you want. We have 9 separate, distinct books for you on our website, championsofthepeople.com. We do it to try to give you the information you need to win the war on your injury claim. That's why we do these shows. We do a variety of injury shows throughout different venues in the state of Colorado. We've been doing that for years, and we're glad to continue to do it. And this show is one of those shows. We try to pick a different injury subject each week, and this week we're talking about amusement park waivers and releases. And in a general category, you know, when you go to an event like a Broncos game, a sporting event, sometimes social events, but if you go to events, they either have you sign a release or they have the release on the back of the ticket or in the computer on the ticket. And you know, Brad, so we're talking about amusement park releases today, but this is a big problem because the history of the law in Colorado is quite colorful, and then they always fight these cases saying you can't even bring a case because of the release.
Well, that's true. The release language and the right for waivers has been identified or has been accepted by the general legislature and made a part of our scheme of legal rights that we try to do to enforce people or get people made whole when they are injured. And unfortunately, we have competing interests, both of which are important for the state of Colorado. Obviously, you have these recreational activities that go on, and people like the recreational activities there. They span not just from, and obviously we're doing this show today because we're talking about the tragedy and the event that happened in Glenwood Canyons that resulted in the death of...
I think it was Colorado Springs, wasn't it?
Yeah, down in the Colorado Springs area. It caused a severe injury to the young lady and resulting in death. And, you know, there were a number of spots on at least Channel 9 and I think other TV stations where attorneys had talked about trying to hold these entities, these amusement park entities, responsible or liable for the injuries and saying their cases have been dismissed. And because their cases have been dismissed, they were not able to... pursue any kind of recovery for the person. When that happens, you have a situation that is very important to make sure you see what's going on and to know what the rights are of the individuals and whether or not there's a waiver. There's a necessity, and don't forget this, there's a necessity to make sure that the amusement parks and ski areas and boating areas and other activities that are out there that Colorado takes advantage of are available to the public and they can do it and they can carry out those activities. And there's many, many of these amusement entities and recreational entities that would say we can't even operate business if we don't have the right to make people sign waivers and release us from responsibility from our negligent acts. I have a problem with that because I think, you know, we should never be excusing people's negligence if it results in the injury of others. But they've stated we would have too many lawsuits and the cost of engaging in a recreational activity would be prohibitive. And we couldn't even build our recreational activities or make them available to the public, including horseback riding. As I said, skiing is one of the recreational activities. We do have a ski act in Colorado. And these amusement parks. There's plenty of activities out there. And the question then becomes whether or not you lose all your rights. And there's been a lot of case law out there that's been established, some major cases, trying to address and addressing when you do and don't have rights. And, you know, one of the concerns I had about what we were hearing on the news, and I would like everybody to recognize, is that if you get hurt in amusement activity, in a recreational activity, it seems like all you're hearing on the news is, well, give it up. You're not going to be able to pursue anything. You're not going to be able to exercise your rights. You're not going to be able to get compensation for your injuries. And that's not necessarily true. So I thought, you know, we've done these shows before. If you look on our website, you'll be able to see that we've done amusement park and waivers and liability waivers before. But I think it was important to revisit it this week to address what's been going on.
Right. It's very important you call us anytime at 303-795-5900, 303-795-5900. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We're here for you. We have over 40 years of experience each, and we've been in business together a very long time. We're very successful, and we can help you prosecute your injury claim, any type of injury claim. It doesn't matter. It can be bicycle. It can be snowmobile. It can be vehicles, cars. Hit and runs, workers' compensation, premises liability. We have a new book on our website, championsofthepeople.com, on premises liability as well. We have 9 books there. They're all free. You can download an e-copy free anytime. That's 303-795-5900. Today's subject are these recreational and amusement park releases and waivers. Look, Brad and I talked about this before we produced the show. We wanted you to have a takeaway, a couple of takeaways from the show today. One is, he just mentioned it. Do not let any media or the television coverage or anybody else convince you or tell you that you have no rights and that you can't recover or that you can't recover compensation. Yes, sometimes that's true. Sometimes the court sustains the release that you signed or that was binding to you, and sometimes the court dismisses your case. Some of these cases go to the Court of Appeals. Sometimes the court does not dismiss your case, and you can go forward with regard to your case and the injuries or death damages, depending on what happened in the incident, right? So do not think there's nothing you can do. Do not think, well, geez, I shouldn't even call a lawyer. You can call Bell and Pollack. We've been through this many times. And we're telling it to you just like it is. So that's takeaway number one. You do have rights. Don't give up. Don't just automatically assume you have no rights and you can't do anything about it. Don't do that. Next, think about this. You have a couple of different kinds of waivers, and some of them are not enforceable at all in Colorado. I mean, you can't have an enforceable waiver if you get on an airplane. That's one, a common carrier. But and so there are subjects that they cannot make you sign a waiver. And you might say, well, I went to the amusement park. I didn't sign anything. Brad, there was no document that I signed. Well, they put it sometimes on the back of the ticket. And if you go into the computer, they say, you know, you agree to all the terms and conditions. Click here or check here. And one of the terms and the conditions is usually that you waive and release them from any responsibility for their negligence, etc. So the words matter. These have to be investigated. But your takeaway today is there are things that you can do about it. And you know, Brad, so a lot of the transactions, especially in amusement park injuries and deaths, is that there was no written waiver signed, initialed, dated, but they're claiming there's a waiver connected to or related to the ticket.
Right. And obviously, in this situation, you say, okay, the ticket couldn't have been purchased and read and understood, or any of the events understood, by a 6-year-old girl who dies in the crash or in this incident, I mean. And so, you know, the next question you have is that the parents are getting it and signing it, and how did the parents come into possession of the ticket? Did they actually pay for the ticket? Was it given to them as a gift? Did they win it in a contest? Did they? And how did they accept the ticket? What does the ticket say? What's the liability waiver say? Now, maybe as they walked up to this particular event or this particular ride, they had to sign an extra waiver. and saying something different than something separate. Even then, you have to understand that what you're waiving at that point is the negligence of the person. And normally that document you're signing in the waiver has to specifically say negligence in it. It can't just be absent the word negligence and specifically tell you you're waiving negligence. If it's in a lot of legal jargon, legalese, there's a chance it's not going to be enforceable. Because the normal ordinary person is not expected to understand the legalese of a contract and the legal terminology. So you've got to understand that. Now, as they go up to sign that, the next question is how much time are they given to sign it? Do they have a chance to ask questions? And what are they waiving? And if they're waiving something, is it something that they know they're waiving and they can understand the contract and they have time with which to address it? And that can be a very big question. Do they have a chance to ask questions? Or were they handed the stuff by somebody who's working the booth for that particular ride who couldn't answer any questions on the contract or the waiver, even if you asked them, because it'd be a waste of time because there are people who have been hired to manage the booth or work the booth, but they most certainly aren't people who are there to address liability waiver questions.
Right, and there are certain statutes that control certain liabilities, and we're going to cover those after the break. You're listening to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. I'm Gary Bell, along with my partner Brad Pollack. We formed our law firm in 1984 with a sole vision and mission of helping injured victims and their families put their lives back together again after a tragedy, an incident, an injury, a death, a car crash. I mean, sometimes we have to talk about very gruesome subjects, but we have to do it, and you have to face it, and we can help you. I mean, we have over 40 years of experience each helping injured victims. We do cases all over the state of Colorado. You can call us right now, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
This Legal Minute is brought to you by Bell and Pollack Personal Injury Lawyers at championsofthepeople.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollack. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about drunk drivers and punitive damages. What are punitive damages, by the way? How do they help you? Can they help you? Punitive damages exist by statute in Colorado. They're there to punish the wrongdoer for intentional, reckless, wrongful, wanton acts. Drunk driving is one of those reckless acts. You can obtain punitive damages against drunk drivers, and that puts additional legal, legitimate pressure on the insurance company for the drunk driver to pay you your complete, legitimate money for your injuries and damages and losses. Do not let them get away with it. Make sure you can prove the driver was drunk. Call the police. Bell and Pollack, championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
For your Bell and Pollack legal game plan, visit championsofthepeople.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollack Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell, along with Brad Pollack. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. We are injury attorneys. We discuss a different injury subject with you each week. We do it to inform you, to educate. At Bell and Pollack, we educate and advocate. We educate and advocate for you, for your family, for the injured victim. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Or championsofthepeople.com. It's easy. Just go to championsofthepeople.com and you can communicate with us. You can chat with us. You can send us an email. You can send us a text. 303-795-5900. Today we're talking about amusement park releases. So think about this. In the general scheme of the law, you can do something about this. That's takeaway number one. But Brad, the general scheme of the law was the common law. Court-made decisions dealt with releases. We've taught you this before. There's court-made, and then there's legislative law, statutes. And, you know, there really wasn't in the beginning any statutes. So it was the common law. It was the court-made law. Were releases like this enforceable? And the history in Colorado is quite colorful because sometimes in the history of our state, they said they weren't enforceable, and sometimes they said they were enforceable. And now we're into the pendulum swing where they are enforceable. But that doesn't mean you lose. There are many, many, many exceptions. I mean, there are exceptions for common carriers like airplanes and trains. They can't ever say to you there was a release. Okay, there's exceptions for willful and wanton behavior and conduct that's just beyond ordinary negligence. So do not give up. But Brad, let's talk about this, because in the beginning, in the Genesis, in the basics, this is a contract. They say it's a contract, but you raised a good point a minute ago. You know, maybe a parent or a mom and dad take their four children to the amusement park. They walk up and buy six tickets, one for each child and two for the adults. Well, did you buy it for the wife, or the wife buys the tickets for the husband? Did the husband, the non-purchasing spouse, enter into a contract? When was that contract formed? Was there a fair exchange? Was there a negotiation? Was there unequal bargaining power? All those are beginning-type questions, and Brad's done these cases before, and so those are important.
Well, what if the spouse only one spouse signs, and the other spouse doesn't sign in? What if the parents of the child are divorced, and you're talking about doing it during some kind of parenting rite, or some type of event that's occurred where one parent doesn't even know what's happening, and so they have no opportunity to say whether or not they're going to waive or give a liability waiver for the recreational activity that's occurring. You know, some recreational activities have inherent risks of injury and death. In those activities, such as when we're talking about when you're tubing down a river and or rafting down a river, you may have an inherent risk of death. Maybe riding a horse, depending on the circumstances, and riding a horse can have an inherent risk of death. Should an amusement ride have an inherent risk of death? You start with that. You start with what do you expect and what should be the expectation? And if it goes wrong, would it take gross negligence? And is gross negligence or a term of art that has to be applied to the particular event that's going on? And I would argue that it is in this case, or in the event that's happened, because when we're talking about it, we're talking about, okay, a little girl got on a ride on a particular ride that has a lot more inherent risk of danger or some type of harm than maybe if she'd have gotten on one of those kiddie rides for six-year-olds that goes up and down and goes around in a circle and you can watch what's going on and you're not being thrust around, you're not being thrown around, you're not having a sudden drop that could cause injury or death. Does anybody know what the ride does? Okay, it says it plunges so many feet. Let's say it says that. Is that something that you need to look at more with respect to the ride? And so, I'm not just being unique to this ride and saying whether or not a court will ultimately determine that the general liability waiver keeps the parents from recovering anything in this case, because, you know, we haven't gone into depth even with regard to seat belts or shoulder harnesses or whether or not they're making sure they're on and what's the best safety device you could have given. And does gross negligence happen when the seatbelt doesn't work because it wasn't properly inspected? Maybe it was properly inspected. We don't know. There's a lot of questions. But the important part of all this is to understand that every activity you do in Colorado, probably every amusement activity of any kind or recreational activity, is going to come with a waiver.
Right. I mean, you can go snowmobiling, you're going to sign a waiver. You go zip lining, you're going to sign a different type of waiver. You go rafting, you're going to sign a waiver. And so, but do not automatically assume there's nothing you can do about these things. You know, we're talking about amusement parks as our major thing, but parks today, but we're talking about also releases for recreational activities. Now, so in Colorado, you have the common law, which we talked about, and the history, which we talked about. So releases and waivers are generally enforceable in Colorado. Many, many exceptions. So we've covered that with you, right? And Colorado has a specific statute now on ski safety and ski accidents. So that statute's going to change the common law. We're not going to talk about ski today, but just to understand, for you to understand, and Colorado law passed a special law for Major League Baseball. Or the Major League Baseball wasn't coming 20-some years ago until there's a statute protecting them from flying bats, baseballs, injuring people, etc. So the statute can change the common law. But those are the two specific statutes, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about an amusement park release, an amusement park waiver. Are those enforceable? And they always fight them. But there's ways to try to win these cases, and you need to know that. You need to not give up. And so, you know, Brad was talking about gross negligence or willful and wanton behavior, horseback rides. Let's give an example, Brad. If you're on a rafting ride, and we're going to come back to the amusement park in a minute, but if you're on a rafting ride, you sign a release, okay, fine. But, you know, some of these things down the Grand Canyon, there was one called Lava Falls. It's almost straight down. So they warn you about it, and there's a special release that you understand that's it. But what if they didn't tell you that? What if you just signed a rafting release and, well, you know, you're going to go in some rapids, okay, fine, great, be a little fun, right? They didn't tell us we're going to drop 100 feet almost vertically, not quite, but they didn't tell us all this. So did you really agree and consent and release them for that event? Inside the event, a waterfall inside the event of the big fall. Of water rafting to begin with. So let's go back to amusement parks, Brad. You know, maybe you signed a release or there's a release or there's a one on the back of the ticket. Maybe they're going to say it's enforceable. But as to this ride, we're talking about plunging, right? I think I've got the facts right, with no shoulder harness. And how does that compare to other rides throughout the United States and the standard in the industry? Let's talk about that a minute.
Well, and you start with that. All of you sitting there listening to the show or wherever you're doing, you might be standing or whatever, but as you're listening to the show, stop to think about going on to amusement park, any amusement park you might go to, and think about going to an amusement park that that you're going to take your children to. And like we said, this one was in Glenwood Caverns. And understand, Glenwood Caverns is located in Colorado Springs, but it sounds like it might be in Glenwood. It's not. It's in Colorado Springs. But stop and think about what you would expect on a ride. And you'd expect certain things. You'd expect, because we all learn to expect them, seatbelts. We expect seatbelts on a lot of our rides or most of our rides. Then we go the next step up. If it's going to have sudden jerks or sudden plunges or whatever, we would probably expect some kind of bar to go across the front of the chair, or we would expect some kind of shoulder harness to be there. If it's going to jerk you around and give risk of injury to your neck or to your head, we'd expect some kind of helmet or hat or something being put on our heads, or maybe something wrapping around to make our neck stationary and our head stationary. We'd expect that. We would expect the people who are putting together these rides to have the knowledge about them and to understand the aerodynamics and the what's happening with ride that's going to cause you to possibly get hurt. And we would expect to have people there who are properly going to make sure these belts and bars and helmets and everything are properly in place, that they're on the person correctly. We'd expect a certain size or height requirement if the belt's coming across. We don't put people in our car. We don't put children in our car in the front seat, and we require booster seats for our children to make sure the seat belt's going to go across them correctly. So you expect that in a ride that's going to have any potential of causing the person to be thrown around. And whether this was done, once again, I want to make sure we understand whether this was done at Glenwood Caverns, I can't say. I don't know. But I became very concerned when we see this incident happen. The next thing we hear on TV is people saying, well, you can't really pursue these cases, or you're not going to go anywhere, or they get dismissed because of these liability waivers. Maybe the liability waiver might. But then again, there's so many aspects that have to be addressed. Because let's say you've got you decide not to put shoulder harnesses on a ride that requires that should have it. Is that negligence, or is that willful and wanton conduct?
Or gross negligence.
And is it something that has been designed, and should the people have known better who were designing it? Or did they just decide they were going to make that shortcut for expense? Because of expenses? Did they decide they were going to make that shortcut and not use those because it would make a bigger thrill to the ride? Well, that's so. Is that in the waiver and the release? Is that telling people, hey, you're having a heightened risk of danger to your health or life because of the because we've decided not to use shoulder harnesses when everybody else in the country uses them?
When, I guarantee you, when you get in those one of those chairs, you as an adult, you're going to want to be protected. You're going to want to understand that they understand what kind of ride you're going to go on and what kind of safety equipment you need. And if you need a shoulder harness or the potential of being thrown out of a ride, you want to be protected. We got a break coming up. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys. Our telephone number is 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com, because champion people's cases and injury claims. We'll be right back.
This Legal Minute is brought to you by Bell and Pollock Personal Injury Lawyers at championsofthepeople.com.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell with the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is your Legal Minute. Today, we're talking about the very first phone call with the insurance adjuster for the at-fault party. Do you know what to do? Do you know what to say? Do you know what you should do? Do you know what you shouldn't do? You don't. You know, for that instance, in that situation, the insurance adjuster, that's an ordinary day and event for him or her. It's not an ordinary day or event for you. You need to understand your rights. You need a legal game plan. You need it laid out for you in a free initial consultation. At Bell and Pollock, that's what we do. That's what we can do for you. A game plan for the way the accident happened, a legal game plan for your injuries, damages, and losses to prove them. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
For your Bell and Pollock legal game plan, visit championsofthepeople.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You know Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We have been in business for over 40 years helping injured victims. You know exactly what to do if you've been injured. You can give us a call anytime, 303-795-5900. If you want experience, we got it for you, for your family. You want knowledge, we've got it. We've been doing this a long time. We've taken care of a lot of families. Just go to our website. championsofthepeople.com. Look at the reviews. Look at the case results. Look at who we are. Look at what we do. We educate and advocate, so you're not guessing. You can't guess and win. You must have a legal game plan. We wrote a book called Legal Game Plan. It's free on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Today's subject was amusement parks. So let's give them a couple of takeaways. Takeaway number one. Is it don't listen to media that you there's just absolutely nothing you can do about these. That's not true. There are many exceptions to these releases or waivers. Yes, it's hotly contested. Yes, they fight them. And then, you know, takeaway number two, it depends on the injury and it depends on the facts. So you need to talk to an attorney fairly quickly, because was there gross negligence? Was there willful and wanton conduct? And so, Brad, that's all very important when it figures into what you're going to do to protect you and your family.
It most certainly will. And let me correct something I said. The Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park is in Glenwood Springs. The attorney who has talked about not being able to, I believe the attorney has talked about not being able to pursue a case when it was dismissed, is from Colorado Springs. I think that's what and I'm sorry for the confusion if I gave that confusion, but it's a statewide rule. It's a statewide law. So what's important is that if you've had somebody who's been injured, or if you've been injured and it's because of a riding on one of these rides or being involved in any kind of recreational activity, you should contact us. We can put together a legal game plan. That legal game plan may be short and sweet, or it may be more sophisticated, but you should contact us so we can help you to get full compensation for your injuries.
Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Why? Because we champion people's injury claims and cases, and we've done it for over 40 years, and we can do it for you. 303-795-5900, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.